Hey there, everybody. This is Carl Castaneda, and you're listening to Radio Free Nintendo at NintendoWorldReport.com. For this week, we've got two staffers instead of three. We couldn't get the third, but these two are so great, it'll make up for the lack of the extra person.
Ha! Huh. Yeah.
First up, we've got site director Stephen Windyman Rodriguez.
Hello, everybody.
We've also got our sports editor, Stan Ferguson.
I'm back.
He's back. He hasn't been here in a while, but, you know, this one's, it's going to be a good one, right?
Oh, of course.
It's going to be great.
Oh, yeah.
All thanks to me.
All right, guys, we've got quite a bit to discuss. First up on the docket is Wii launches in Japan. Cue heavenly music. There we go. So, question. Will it sell out?
Yes.
You guys think it's going to sell?
It's gone.
I don't know, man.
I think it'll do all right.
We're recording this Saturday night, and chances are, like, the thing launched about 5-6 hours ago, and they're probably already gone, 400,000 worth.
I don't know, dude. If the DS Lite was any indication, Nintendo's in trouble.
they're in trouble in a good way.
Man, wait till they come out with a different color Wii's over there.
Oh my god.
Purple Wii sells 5 million units.
At this point, Nintendo could put out an invisible Wii. It's just an empty box, and people would buy it.
You know what really shocks me about this whole thing that's been going on, not just in Japan, but also in the United States as well, is that after two generations, Nintendo has done a complete 180 on their image. People actually see, know, and want the Wii, rather than just the hardcore Nintendo fans. They've actually changed their image. They're cool again.
Yes, and I think that has to do with the fact that they no longer... Sony's doing this right now. They're just relying on, you know, PlayStation brand. This is our system. This is the PlayStation. You will buy it because it's the PlayStation. Nintendo used to do that. It's because they had, you know, Nintendo Entertainment System, Super Nintendo Entertainment System, Nintendo 64, Nintendo GameCube. They've had their name in all of their systems until... the Wii. It's just Wii. That's the official name of the system. They're not relying...
Yeah, who would have thought such a janked up, weird out name like the Wii would end up being the smartest decision they ever made?
It took everybody about, let's see, it took me 3 or 4 days to get over the sick feeling of why they named it that. But the more we went on, the further past E3 we got, the closer we got to launch, the more and more it made sense. To the average person, somebody's going to say, we, or like, and go like, why? What the hell is that? They're immediately curious as to what the hell this name means. So they'll want to go and maybe investigate, what's the Wii? And they'll say, oh, it's this game machine. Well, maybe it's this game machine. But by the time they see what the Wii is, they'll maybe at the same time see, okay, this is how you play the system. This is why you're playing the system. And they'll get it. And by then, it's too late, and you've spent $500 on the Wii and games and accessories. And
which brings me to a point. I have to, and I know Carl mentioned this last week, but I also have to say I'm eating a lot of crow over not just the launch being nuts, but I'm eating it over the name of the Wii. I thought it was terrible, and I thought it was just not going to fly, but Nintendo's marketing has just been phenomenal.
Yeah, I'm going to eat crow as well and say that those Wii commercials they're putting out now are fantastic. They're really, really good. I am extremely impressed with how Nintendo's been orchestrating their commercials.
Well, you know...
They're great. They're everything that I wanted from Nintendo commercials. So,
well, you know what?
Sorry, guys.
It's funny that Nintendo didn't really start advertising the Wii in North America until the week before. Their first commercial was on Dancing with the Stars, which was, you know...
an interesting choice.
Mario Lopez and Emmett Smith dancing it off. We're getting off topic again. But they only started advertising the Wii in North America the week before. They've been doing it in Japan for, like, 2 months before the system
launched. Yeah, I remember we got an email from one of our Japanese correspondents, Joshua Daugherty, who actually he had been taking photographs in Shinjuku train station. That they had all these huge posters of just a picture of the controller and the date, and
well,
that was it.
The Wii was made specifically with the Japanese market in mind.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Primarily,
or at least,
not specifically.
At least to have taken part and capitalize on the success of the DS. It's basically the DS home console, which, for better or for worse, is what they're doing.
Right, but their decision on how they wanted to market it so differently in the U.S. was brilliant.
Oh,
just
absolutely.
Go with the whole word of mouth thing.
Oh man,
yeah,
that's the best way
I've
to do it.
I've gone from someone who has massively criticized their marketing campaign to a believer in a matter of weeks. You know, and it's just only Nintendo could do that. Only Nintendo.
Well, I don't know. Apple kind of did it with the iPod.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, the whole halo effect.
Well, yeah, but do 1,500 people line up for the launch of a new iPod? Yeah,
no.
Yeah, like for those who haven't heard yet, in Japan when they were doing the mid-light launch, all the major electronics stores in Japan, people were lining up like 200, 500, 1,000, 1,500 people deep.
For an accessory.
Well, no, to get the Wii.
Oh, midnight launch. I was thinking of something else.
And you know, it seems
oh,
as...
God.
Oh, bother. Anyways, it seems as if there's not going to be enough Wii, but there's going to be an adequate amount for the launch day crowd. The problem is, just like it kind of was here in the States, is that there's not going to be enough games. There's not going to be enough software, and that's the big, big thing. Most of the people.
But in Japan.
No, in Japan.
It's actually
too.
They're getting a really great lineup.
Oh yeah, they have a bunch of different games, but you know, Zelda sold what, like 475,000.
Yeah.
Not everybody who wanted Zelda just had a little trouble finding it here in the States. I can't imagine the shortages are going to be in Japan. There's going to be, I would say, like 400,000 Wiis in Japan. I would guess there would only be about 300,000 copies of Zelda. I doubt they have all 400,000 systems covered if people wanted to buy Zelda for each one.
Right.
And at the same time, they're also launching Zelda on GameCube.
Yes, and that's only available online, though, so they kind of had an idea how many people wanted to get it. But let's not kid ourselves, you got to get the Wii version.
Yeah, I mean, the GameCube version is the GIMP version. It's why I'm not going out and getting it. You know, I'm going to wait until I get a Wii
and
then
you know,
I'm going to buy it.
Let's not get all the Wii-less people wrong. The GameCube version is going to be a great version of Zelda. It's just not going to be...
The best version.
It's going to be a great version, just not the best version.
Well, to be sure, Carl and I are both Wii-less.
Yeah, so we're part of you guys. We know the struggle.
We're getting back
to the Japanese launch, they're actually getting some great games that we're not getting right away.
WarioWare.
WarioWare.
Oh my god.
I was not sold on WarioWare until I saw a commercial that Stan linked me on YouTube.
Oh yeah.
Which is basically a love letter to every Nintendo franchise ever.
Yeah,
by having these little mini games.
Well, not only that, but unlike the GameCube version, this one was made with the Wii in mind.
Yeah, the GameCube version, they just ported over all the Game Boy games and stuck in the multiplayer aspect, but this one is all the Wii. It looks great.
It looks fantastic.
And
I've never bought a WarioWare, but I might for this one.
Oh, as soon as I knew that there was going to be a WarioWare on it and that was coming out shortly after launch, I'm all for that.
You know what sold me on that was you saw the 9-volt stage with all the classic Nintendo games, and it's not just the NES and the Game Boy stuff. It's from the whole spectrum. So you had, like, the NES games, the Game Boy games, all the way up to the GameCube games. You have some Wii games in there still. So,
yeah.
Including the very beautiful version of the SNES Star Fox hit.
Star Fox at 60 FPS.
I had no idea how much I missed that game until I saw it. And then I remembered Star Fox Adventures and Star Fox Assault. I was like, oh my god. Star Fox 64
Nintendo,
I liked, but...
Get it on PC.
Yeah, Star Fox 64 I liked, but... Man, what happened to the original Star Fox? Where is that? Oh, that's an instant buy from Virtual Console for me. Speaking of Virtual Console, you know, we've said this like every other week here on the podcast, but... Japan's got such a kick-ass lineup at launch, and then they have all these games coming out in the days after. Well, they have to wait till December 26th, so...
For Fire Emblem?
Yeah, so we've got about, 3 weeks of... We don't have it either, but when they get it, they can, you know, go at us. Man,
yeah.
Sucks. They get R-Type and... Donkey Kong Country...
What's the matter, Wendy? You're not psyched for Columns?
I'm debating on whether or not I want to get that, but 800 points is... I don't know, about $8. $6... I'm okay with $6 for TurboGrafx games. I think those are worth it.
Don't you have a PS2?
I do.
Wendy? Yeah, there's no point really in getting a lot of those Sega games since they're going to be coming out for $20 on the PS2 in one collection.
Yes, but I can't play them with the Wii controller. That's the whole sound.
And that makes all the difference.
Well, the classic controller is a lot like the PS2 controller.
It's similar. if by similar I mean better, but that's a whole other story.
Well, I'm just talking about button placement.
Right. But you know, then there's these other games that are coming out for us soon that I really look at our list. You know, Rystar, I never played it. Is it any good? I don't know. But I look over the Japanese lineup and they've got like A Link to the Past, Castlevania, you know, Metroid, and I'm just like, ugh.
Maybe they expect the Japanese market to be more into the virtual console than the United States market.
That's stupid. There is a big retro market in the US.
There is no excuse, because I think Johnny said this last week. All Nintendo has to do is put the game up on the server, and if, you know, two people download it, three or four or five people download it, that's profit, no matter what.
Yeah.
There's little excuse. I'm like, my theory
especially
is
with these first party games where they don't have to pay royalties to a
exactly
third party.
Like the only justifiable theory I have for this is they want to space the releases out so they always have something to add. But come on, they've got like over the five systems, they must have at least 2,000. Total games across third parties that they can release. Licensing issues be damned. Get those things up on your servers and we'll download.
I really can't think of a legitimate reason as to why they wouldn't.
Because they hate us.
Yeah, I guess they do.
We got our free Wii Sports pack in, and I guess they said, well, that should be enough to tide you over until we get you these real
games. They get
Wii Play and their free controller. We have to wait a couple
minutes. Speaking of Wii Sports, what's up with that lame-ass cardboard insert while every other region gets a case?
Because they hate us.
Well, let's see.
In a way, I'm shaking my fist at you.
Well, if you want, you can order replacement cases, DVD cases for the Wii for like $1.
That's stupid. I don't know what
I'm doing. Like, cut the Wii Sports little sleeve in half and stick it on each side of the... Yeah.
Nintendo, home and crafts.
Well, you know what? We're bitching about this, how Japan gets all the good stuff, but it's not entirely true because they also are launching with some games like the wonderful Necronesia.
God, what a beautiful looking game!
No.
Necronesia.
Hey, if that gets ported over to the U.S., I want to review it.
Oh, I'm sure you will, because none of us will take it. I don't know, for some reason, whenever I look at Necronesia, I kind of want to play it. For some reason, I don't know why.
It probably gives you that Resident Evil vibe, I bet.
Yeah, it does. It just kind of reminds me of Resident Evil, which makes me think, man, that was such an awesome game. Maybe Necronesia will be good, but it won't be.
Wow, what if Resident Evil was pure crap?
Oh, well, wait a second. I just remembered a reason why we need to bitch at Nintendo again.
Oh, what's that?
Pokemon Battle Revolution?
Online.
At launch.
Online, as they say. Yeah. You know, the thing is, we have to remember that it's probably going to suck anyway. So, take comfort in that.
You don't understand. It's online. Where are online games?
I think Elebits is going to have some online features.
No. It's online at launch, Carl.
Yes.
Yeah, but Elebits is launch window.
You can play against other people. You can take their Pokemons, I guess.
Show me your Pokemans. Show me to them.
Oh boy.
Anyway.
Well, I think
now
I
that
think,
we've been we.
Well, let me just say this. Let's just get a consensus here. We can talk about Europe and Australia next week, I guess. But overall, America's Wii versus Japan's Wii. We got Wii Sports free. They didn't. But other than that, who's coming out ahead?
I don't know who.
I go with the region that gets online out of the box.
And all the virtual console games and all the other games that we didn't get. I would have to say that right now, even though we got it first and even though we got a free game with it, Japan has definitely got the better launch going on. They have the
I would definitely agree. But, you know, now we've been talking about games that we aren't able to play because of those crappy Japanese...
But wonderful Japanese launch.
It was crazy.
So now we're going to go into our next segment where we are going to be discussing games that we actually are playing. So be back after this commercial break.
Welcome back to the final round of Radio Trivia. For those just tuning in, I'm the Younger Plumber, and I'm here with Dwayne, who is 1 point away from winning a brand new 1978 Buick LeSabre. How are you feeling, Dwayne?
Well, I sure could use that car. The back seat in my old car's plumb worn out.
Okay, then. Well, all you have to do to win the car is tell us what game this song is from. Are you ready, Dwayne?
Actually, no. I need to go take a pee break. You guys have an out?
Too bad! You have 10 seconds, Dwayne.
NASCAR 2006.
Oh, I'm so sorry. The correct answer was Super Mario Brothers for the Nintendo Entertainment System. You didn't win the car, but here are some parting gifts.
Do those gifts come with toilet paper? Because I think I need some.
For all you folks at home, you can join us every other Friday night at 7:30 Pacific in the Nintendo World Report chat room for Radio Trivia. You could win fabulous prizes! Don't be like Dwayne. Know your video game music. Goodbye, folks.
Nintendo World Report trivia prizes are not always offered every week, and prizes may or may not be fabulous. For official trivia rules, visit NintendoWorldReport.com.
And we're back from that commercial break. You know, we've been doing some changing here at RFN, and we've decided to finally adopt the cliche what you've been playing segment. But it's a cliche for a reason, because it's so strong.
Like my odor.
And no one laughs. Anyway.
You sons of bitches.
Because we all know it to be true. Anyway, so I'll start off with you, Stan. What are you playing? Besides, get away from your pungent odor.
I just got done playing Final Fantasy XII and am currently moving on to Gears of War, which I'll be playing until I can afford a Wii, and then I'll be playing Zelda.
Well, you have to tell us about FF12 first.
Final Fantasy XII was awesome, dude. I sunk 90 hours into that thing when I just finally decided, you know what, I gotta beat it. There's so much to do in that game. The battle is actually fun. The weakest part of the whole thing is actually the story, while the acting is incredible. But the story is kind of on the wayside, because you actually end up spending so much time doing all these other things. And it has this perfect balance of what should be text and what should be a cutscene. So, like, all the really dramatic scenes are done as cutscenes. Anything else is done as text, unlike in the older Final Fantasy X, where everything seemed to have some long-ass cutscene attached to it that was pointless and horribly acted, with the exception of Waka, because Waka was played by Bender from Futurama.
Nice.
That was awesome. Hell yeah.
Plus his name's Waka.
By the way, I also want to state that Bender from Futurama is also Marcus Fenix in Gears of War.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that segues lovely into your little talk about other game. How would you think of Gears of War?
I haven't been able to play it much yet, but I need to get a second controller because my roommate just beat it, and now we're going to be doing a co-op together, and from what I've seen of him playing it, it's just phenomenal. I've never seen such a good-looking game, not only have an HD set. This is on standard def television, and it still looks great. I call it chunky because it looks like it's physically there, you know? It doesn't look like it's a video game.
And that translates to chunky how?
I call it chunky because it feels like it has depth, like you know, as opposed to, you know, it's really prettily shaped polygons. It's incredible. I've never seen anything like that.
It speaks to the power of the Unreal Engine 3.
Oh yeah, I can't wait to see what they do with it some more. I mean, as far as realism is concerned, mixed with a kind of a generic art style, it works out really well. And also, the game is just balls to the wall. Awesome.
It's going to revolutionize the bald space marine genre.
Have you played Resident Evil 4?
Yes.
Alright, imagine that on crack, and that is what Gears of War is.
But I've already played Killer 7.
you just had to slip Killer 7 in there, didn't you?
That's more like Resident Evil 4 on LSD.
Perhaps. But, Wendy, what are you playing?
Well, I've been trying to get some money squared away to get Gears of War lately, but in the meanwhile, I've been just sucked into Guitar Hero 2.
How is
it? Ooh, man, is it awesome or what, man? You're rocking out in that game. They put so many good songs in there.
Did you get to Trogdor?
I mean, I've only started playing it yesterday. And I've only, you know, started on expert in about 25 songs through career. And
you started on expert?
Yeah.
Nice.
You're a masochist.
It's starting to get a little tricky. Well, actually, one of the songs in the sixth set of songs in career mode is Rock This Town, which is also in Elite Beat Agents. So I remember playing it in Elite Beat Agents, like, yeah, this song isn't that hard. And then you actually have to play the guitar. Oh my god, that song kicked my ass.
I got a stupid question about Guitar Hero 2. Mm-hmm. This time, did they get any of the artists?
It's all emulated. Well, no, all the, like, the 40 career mode songs, they all had to re-record those, but all the bonus songs are the actual artists.
Really?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Cool.
Most of the bonus songs in the first games were the original artists, too. They were just the artists you didn't hear of. But apparently, Red Octane had a much easier time getting the songs they wanted for the sequel.
Well, because hell yeah, considering how successful the first one was.
Exactly, and I saw it was an interview on the 1UP show. One of the producers from Red Octane, they were saying the songs they wanted in the game, the people they needed to talk to basically came to them. And then it was just this matter of getting it translated into the game.
It's great marketing. It's really great marketing for a band.
It is so much fun. And it actually is kind of like Elite Beat Agents in a way that it's really easy for the people that just don't know how to play anything. And it is ridiculously hard for the people that know what they're doing. And I'm starting to get to a point in career mode where I am very, very not liking playing through the game, but I press on because it's so much fun to do it. And if you nail a part, it's just the best feeling in the world. And they made it easier this time around because it's the hammer on and pull offs where you have to hit a lot of buttons at once. They made those a lot more forgiving. So I'm hitting these sections that I would have never dreamed of hitting in the first game, and it's, you know, I really wanted to break my guitar after finishing a song in the first game, and my poor guitar controller is in such bad shape that I might want to retire it by, you know, setting it on fire and then waving the flames up.
Did that in your apartment? Sounds like a great idea.
I'll do it, I don't know, by the explosive barrel factory I have in town.
Doesn't every town have an explosive barrel factory?
Or a flaming tire yard.
Flaming tire yard.
Well, you know, I never go to the doctor. I just go to a crate.
Oh. Okay, anyways.
Anywho, I guess besides, I should move on to...
No.
Oh, you're not done yet? Okay,
No. One of the games I am going to review is GT Pro Series for the Wii.
Lucky.
Yes, now, I volunteered for this game because it just so happened I played the original, which is GT Cube for the GameCube, which came out in 2003. Ubisoft did zero to it. They just put on the Wii controls, made it widescreen, and it's the exact same game that was released 3 years ago, and it is terrible.
Now, unless I'm mistaken, it's a really ugly version of Auto Modelista, correct?
Yes. The cars have a subtle cell shade look to them. They actually don't look that bad, but the environments, they could probably do better on the N64, I kid you not. I have to say, though, you know, you get the plastic steering wheel that's included. It's the controls actually are pretty good. And the steering wheel, the hard plastic steering wheel, actually helps with the controls very much. So that's the only redeeming quality of the game, is that the controls are actually quite good, but there's little other reason to play it. It's just, man.
Well, you know things are bad when people think you're playing a virtual console game. But I guess I'll move on now to what I am playing.
What are you playing?
I moved off of Nicktoons Battle for Volcano Island. that's all needs to be said. To Spider-Man Battle for New York for review. And,
how's that doing for you?
I'm a big
one
Spidey
battle
fan.
From another.
Yeah, exactly. I'm a warrior.
No, this one is the Battle for New York. Everything else
the
is
battle
just,
for
you
New
know.
York.
So you've conquered Volcano Island and you've moved on to bigger and better things.
New York. So, New York, and you know, I'm a big Spidey fan. I was a big fan of Ultimate Spider-Man, even though it was so short. And in a way, Battle for New York is the same thing, but with a different story. But I will commend it. It's on the DS and it's in 3D, but it still looks really great. It uses a similar cel shading engine to what I would assume Tony Hawk uses on the DS. So while there are some jagged edges and some parts don't look so clean, for the most part, it's a pretty admirable effort in 3D on the DS. My problem with it is that you play as Spider-Man and the Green Goblin. Green Goblin gets all the cool parts. Spider-Man is all rescue missions and turn the switches. Which is stupid, because you're playing as Spider-Man, you want to get the cool parts. So that part isn't that great.
Well, there
but
you
the
go.
The Green Goblin parts where you're throwing fireballs are just awesome.
Evil is better than good in every respect.
Always.
Yeah,
haven't you learned anything?
Haven't I learned anything from playing video games? No. But the other game I'm playing is an old standby since I got it, which is Naruto Clash of Ninja 2. And I know I'm going to get some flack for that because, oh, it's some anime licensing game, but it's really good.
Anime.
It's in some respects, I like it even better than Smash Bros. In some parts.
Wow.
Which is saying a lot. It's not as good as on the whole, but like the whole dodging mechanic and just cool factor, I think outclasses Smash Bros.
You know what? It's funny you mentioned that, because it actually turns out, actually now I'm thinking about it, Naruto Clash Ninja 2 is 3 years old, just like GT Pro Series is. With the obvious difference that 3 years ago the game was really good, and 3 years later it's still really good.
Yeah.
And GT Pro was 3 years ago. It was
pretty mediocre back then, right. But you're taking a pretty bad game that was back then and not doing anything and putting it on a more powerful system, and man. But anyways, yeah.
Naruto 2 is awesome. Wheel. Still crap.
Yes. Does Naruto have a plastic wheel? I don't think so.
That's what you think.
No sail.
Yeah, no, not enough waggle in Naruto Clash of Ninja.
Well, that's because it's a GameCube game.
Maybe in the...
Well, you know, you could always throw it inside of a Wii. And, well, even then, you still have to have the GameCube controller, so never mind.
Right, so that wouldn't really work out so well. But I think that clears up what everyone's playing. The only thing I'm playing right now is New Super Mario Brothers, but that I just play that at random parts. So I think that just about clears us out. And let's get into our next segment, which will be the news. All right, see you guys after this commercial break.
With the Wii now out, one thing remains very certain about the state of dancing. It must be translated to a video game. Simply must, whether it is Samba de Amigo or Dance Dance Revolution, the Wii must be the home of dancing salsa on the home consoles, so that one day I, Antonio Banderas lookalike, may be able to share a glass of wine, a nice dinner, and then home for some nice Wii dancing. This must happen, and it is why I have hijacked this episode of Radio Free Nintendo. Now, back to your regularly scheduled programming.
And we're back from that second commercial break. Okay, guys, it's segment number 3, and you know what that means. It's the news. First up, we've got scans galore. Wendy, you were telling me a little while ago about how they had some FF12 on DS stuff.
Yeah, there's a scan from the latest issue of Famitsu that apparently is the first info in a couple of garby little screens that Square Enix is going to be releasing a version of Final Fantasy XII for the old Nintendo DS.
Wasn't this kind of information released before? I could have sworn I heard about this a couple weeks ago, if not a month or so.
Are you sure it wasn't a different Final Fantasy? Because there's like 13 of them now.
Well, there's 12 of them. It was either Final Fantasy 12 or Final Fantasy 13. They were planning on making one for the DS, but I could have sworn it was 12.
Yeah, they had a rumor at EGM about 13 being on the DS. And
oh, it was just a rumor at that point?
Yeah. Okay. And then afterwards they had the rumor that it was going to be in 12, and then I guess now they've confirmed it for sure.
Okay, awesome.
But also in scans this week was the new Naruto fighting game Gotta love that Naruto. Naruto, Geketsu, Ninja Taisen X. Now, this game is not being developed by Aiding, so cry, cry, cry. It's being done by Dream Factory, who did the Tobal games.
I love Aiding.
It might be good.
Yeah.
It's gonna use the Wiimote, so it'll be Naruto with Waggle at last.
You guys ever play Bloody Roar? That was the Aiding's fighting game series.
I remember that. Isn't that the one where they turn into animals?
Oh yeah. yep, baby.
That series turned into such crap.
Yeah.
But I guess the most important scan news this week is, or at least for yours truly, is the new Heroes info. It's actually gotten its name changed to No More Heroes. Now, have you guys never
They've
heard
canceled
of
it? No More?
There's
oh, no!
No More Heroes! That actually, hooray!
That gave me quite the scare when I was reading about it on Gaff. Like, what do you mean, No More Heroes? I was ready to just toss a hissy fit.
Oh, that's the name.
Yeah,
that's
you suit a fanboy.
The Adventures of One Mr. Travis Touchdown.
Yes.
what a name.
No,
and by the way, how do you like the fact that Sylvia Crystal is actually French? Yeah, which is funny because the actress, Sylvia Crystal, who was in the French movie Emmanuel, was actually Dutch.
Yes, this is true. We actually discussed this on a much earlier podcast.
Yes, but we had to reiterate it.
Yeah, where you said she was French, I think, and then we got an email from an angry listener saying she's Dutch.
Right, she is Dutch, but it was a French movie.
Yeah, so
but now she's a French character, that's confirmed.
Yes. The new info that came out this week is some gameplay details. A lot of people were speculating that you'd be able to move your sword around. Of course, Travis Touchdown has a beam sword. They can't call it a lightsaber because of, George Lucas will sue them. But,
well, he stole that idea from a Gundam.
Well, no,
Gundams,
Gundams
are called beam swords.
The Gundam came out in the 80s.
Yeah, it's a beam swords, lightsabers, now it's beam katana.
Beam katana, yes. It's got, basically it's this little blade that when you start up and then a beam comes around it. But a lot of people were speculating that you'd be able to move that around with the Wiimote, but you're not going to be able to. What you're going to use for the Wiimote is you're going to change Travis Touchdown's stance, and then you're just going to hit A to enact a sword slash. Which I think is a great idea. But Stan, I was talking to you about this earlier, and you disagreed.
I don't like it.
I think it's a great idea. I think it's better than if they had you controlling the Wiimote with one motion.
I don't know. If they want to do a stance, they could just control the stances with the D-pad. You want to change your stance, use the stance to change with the D-pad.
Yeah, then you've only
control
got
the
set.
Sword with the...
But then you've only got set four stances.
Then so press that, the Z button, and then you got eight.
No, that's retarded.
You could move the remote in a very large amount of direction, so you could have infinite stances.
Oh yeah, and that'd be one more impossible than the next to actually get.
Well, here's the thing, guys. When you've got stance control is because a sword slash at the end of the day is either horizontal, vertical, or diagonal. So you've got stab, right? So you've got six or seven different ways you can do it if you had it with the Wiimote for one motion. But if you've got stances, what you can do is you can actually have strategy in your fighting because you can be running towards them with the analog stick, pull yourself into a stance, and then press A to slash. Whereas if you had it just for one motion, you'd be able to run at him and, flail your sword around like an idiot, but you wouldn't actually be able to put any strategy into it.
Honestly, it's way too early to be even discussing this, because we don't know that much more about the game other than that.
Yeah, we don't even know how to move him.
You move with the analog stick. They already said this.
They did? Okay, so it will definitely be a nunchuck.
It's confirmed.
That's great. I was hoping it wasn't going to be another on-rails game.
And, Killer 7 worked that pretty well, but as far as using the nunchuck, it takes a cue from Zelda where you shake it and then it charges up your beam and then you can kind of do a special move.
Charge my laser.
Charge my laser, and then I'm going to do a special move. Anyway. Yeah. Anywho, that clears us up for No More Heroes.
Well, what's next here? We're gonna talk about the pathetic American Virtual Console lineup, right?
Virtual Console Mondays. Was it a good start? I don't know, guys. I thought it was a pretty great success. What do you think?
Well, it's good that they're finally getting their act together, because last week was a little slow in them getting up, but this time they've issued their press release saying, okay, 9 a.m., here are these four games that are going to be up. What they got Donkey Kong Jr., Columns, Roystar, and what is that TG16 game?
Don't recall. The fact that we can't remember means it's probably obscure and bad.
All that matters is Donkey Kong Jr. is in there.
Victory Run, that's it.
Oh, see, I was right.
Donkey Kong Jr. rules.
I remember I always played, the first time I played Donkey Kong Jr. was at my orthodontist's office. Because he had the arcade out.
I had a Donkey Kong Jr. game and watch. That was really the greatest thing in the world to me.
No, you guys are totally off. The best Donkey Kong game is Donkey Kong Math.
Donkey Kong Jr. Math.
Oh, that's right. It's Donkey Kong Jr. Math. Yeah. It's the sequel to Donkey Kong Jr.
Yeah, that was significantly better than the original Donkey Kong Jr.
Of course.
Donkey Kong Jr., I'm not even that big a fan of Donkey Kong, so the fact I'm getting his... His, you know, lazy junior son isn't that encouraging. The one that I'm actually most interested in is Rystar, because I never played it, and I heard that's pretty good, actually, so... Maybe I'll tap into it.
Speaking of, this may as well be a pirate radio Nintendo.
I won't allow it.
You won't allow it. Winnie has vetoed that bill.
You bastard.
But, so Yar. Virtual Console.
Sorry, I must have got something in my throat.
This podcast is never going to get anywhere. Anyway.
Please continue.
Now I've lost my train of thought. All right, Virtual Console Mondays. Are they great, or are they not so great?
They're great. We have something to look forward to.
Yes.
Mondays are traditionally, I got to go back to work, or I got to go back to school. And instead, you can waste all your time and money downloading these new games on Virtual Console.
Absolutely. Call in sick. This gives you good reason to stay home and play the games.
Don't you think your employers would get a little suspicious if you keep calling in sick every single Monday?
Who needs employers?
Tell them it's a holiday before your crazy religious sect.
Yeah.
Your religious week starts on Tuesday, and therefore Monday is your holy day.
Exactly. That's the Sabbath for me.
All right, and finally up this week for the news... It's all this EA stuff. Wendy, you were talking to me before about how the brand is dying or something. What's that about?
Yeah, there's this analyst over at this investment firm of the name of Pacific Crest Securities, and they took a look at all of EA's games in the aggregate review sense, you know, like game rankings.
Right.
And they've determined that over the past couple of years, their sports games especially, all of their entire library is kind of taken a couple ticks down
in the
quality.
When you own exclusive licenses and you don't really have anyone to compete against, I guess they can afford to be a little bit lazy.
Yes, and I think the thing that really brought this out was GameSpot was the one that broke the story. And they said that there was a quote from EA personnel that said they were going to delay the Superman Returns game to release with the DVD because, quote, they wanted to prioritize game quality over making the release date for the film in the theaters.
Oh, yeah.
So they delayed the game back to the DVD, and then they released the game on DVD, or with the DVD, and it's got crap review scores.
Oh, yeah.
You don't want to fight a tornado?
Was that? Hold on, fight the
tornado. You don't want to fight a tornado?
I know how to fight a tornado.
All right, so Tiburon, the crowning jewel of all EA's development teams.
Well, not quite. I think I have a theory about this.
Okay.
You know, because everybody knows Tiburon as...
Will Wright is that.
Will Wright, Maxis is, but Tiburon is, as everybody knows, EA's, you know, they're the Madden people.
Right.
And they're also, I might point out, one of the few EA studios that still has their original name. Because you might remember... We'll talk about this in a second, but you might remember the new studio EA bought just for Wii games. They renamed the studio from Headgate to Wii Salt Lake City. Or EA Salt Lake City, sorry.
Well, same thing.
Yeah, so... there goes your name. Once you're bought by us, you have our name. But like I was saying, Tiburon is the Madden developer.
Right.
So for whatever reason, they said, okay, stop developing Madden for 8-9 months and make the Superman game for us. That worked out.
Yeah.
You guys rank a really good football game. Yeah, we do.
It's too bad that they've kind of caught themselves into this trap of you're the football developer and that's it. That they tried to break out and make something new. The result is a very mediocre game.
They should have made a Superman football game.
No, that'd be
if I want anyone to be my QB, it's Kevin Spacey. But other EA news this week, like when he was saying EA Salt Lake was crowned this week, they're basically just going to be making Wii games.
Yes.
From what I understand.
Wii-specific studios.
That sounds like a brilliant idea, so long as they have the talent to do it.
Now, this is their second all-Wii studio, isn't it? They also have that one in Canada.
Do they have one in Canada?
Yeah, I think it's one of their...
That's the one that's making Madden.
Montreal, I think it was.
Some of their studios
in Montreal.
I didn't know it was developed... I didn't know it was just for Wii games. I thought it was just...
Isn't that funny that they have a Canadian developer making an American football game when they also have the Canadian Football League up there?
Yeah, but there. I mean, who wants to play a CFL game?
I don't think Canadians want to play a CFL game.
I don't think the CFL wants a CFL game.
Well, I mean, at this point, it's the only license that EA doesn't own, so get 2K to make one.
That would be the only time where the license, you know, they would actually have to pay EA to have their license.
Yeah, seriously. But, you know, I don't really think the EA brand is dying, especially with these two new games that they've got coming out. First up,
before you say that,
Friends. Go ahead.
New games don't really mean anything because EA has been kind of coming out with quote unquote new games lately, and they haven't been that good either.
Yeah, their new IPs have been pretty.
I don't know. Army of Two.
They've been hit
and
miss.
Battle for Middle Earth was good.
Yeah.
Yes, but notice how almost all those games are licensed. They have some sort of licensed property.
Well, almost everything EA does is licensed lately.
Yeah, like Army of Two. You could almost make the argument that that's licensed by the Army. Because, you know, their slogan was...
Army of One.
Army of One, so Army of Two, the first thing you think of is the Army. And it goes back to the EA licensing thing.
they've got the exclusive license to the United States Army.
But yeah, they are putting out these two new games on Wii. First up, Obi put up a news article recently about it. SSX, what's the name for it?
Blur.
XSS Blur?
Blur. B-L-U-R Blur.
So this will be essentially SSX 5.
No. It's
SSX,
SSX
for us.
On
Wii.
Tour,
oh, for the Wii?
Redux. Yeah.
I want to ask everyone to forgive me. I'm in Memphis right now, and I just got on the internet. So anything that's come out in the last 3 days, I've missed.
Yeah. You know,
it's much, you know.
SSX exclusively for Wii.
That's awesome. That is wonderful news to me. I'm a nut for SSX games.
Yes, one of my favorite GameCube games was SSX 3. I played that game so much.
As much as we've coined this phrase in this podcast, I have to say it one more time, just because I think this is a great name for the game. SSX Waggleboard.
What the hell?
No. Sorry.
You're fired.
No, no good. I'm fired. No. Anyway, so before I'm fired, let's get into the other game, which is apparently Japanese only for the moment, The Sims on Wii.
It's Japanese only?
It's Japanese only. Because it looks like the bastardized version of Animal Crossing.
Wow.
Characters are all cutesy and bubbly and tiny.
It would make good business sense if they release it only in Japan, because any...
I don't know, I'm kind of sick of The Sims right now.
Well, again, it's not really like The Sims. It looks like it's going to be a little bit more simplified and a lot more Animal Crossing-esque.
It's definitely a good market. It seems like one of those massively multiplayer online games, like Second Life or... you know, it's just like get-together community kind of look to it.
Yeah. I'm not going to buy it.
Although I don't think it's online.
No, it's not.
It's not even online.
Okay, well, there goes that idea.
Yeah.
Okay,
but yeah,
there's a game I have no interest in at all.
Whatever. But, I mean, they're probably going to make boatloads of cash because there is no Animal Crossing for Wii yet, so...
Oh, can't wait till it does
yet.
Come out, though.
Yeah, you know, I'm not a big Animal Crossing fan, so I couldn't care either way.
Oh, did you play it on the DS?
No, I played it on the GameCube and decided it wasn't for me.
Oh, well, there's a big difference.
Yeah. Well, it is online on the on the old DS.
Thing. That adds a huge
dimension. Yeah, well, it's the same reason that I'm not that psyched for Pokemon Battle Revolution. It's online, but online doesn't make it a better game.
Yes, it does.
Yes, it does. Come on, it's Pokemon. The whole idea of Pokemon is to play against other people, trade
with
other people,
fight against other people. Yeah, but it's not a Pokemon RPG online. It's Pokemon Battle Revolution. It's...
Hey, you gotta start small before you go to the big leagues,
it's,
okay?
It's like the card game, dude. You played the card game against other people, and there was no RPG to it.
If they put Pokemon TCG online, I would get that. I love Pokemon TCG.
See, I'm not that even a Pokemon fan, so... Whatever.
You know, that would be a perfect thing for Nintendo to have in the Wii Shop area.
Yeah.
You can download a new channel, and that's your online trading card game.
Exactly. But whatever, we're going a little off topic here, and back to EA and how much neither of us are probably ever going to buy this game. Yeah.
But we are looking forward to Animal Crossing Wii.
Well, I'm not. You guys are.
So
that's because you suck.
You know what I think it is? I think EA is trying to get it out there before Animal Crossing hits, because once Animal Crossing hits, you can forget
about it.
Oh, it's
over. Instant 5 million copies.
Well, I can't believe they're getting it out there without even online.
Well, that's probably exactly why they're going to do it. Even if it's online, so is Animal Crossing.
Right.
What you're going to get.
Well, I believe that does bring us out for this week. I have been your host, Carl Castaneda. My co-host this week have been Steven Rodriguez, our site director, and Stan Ferguson, our sports editor. And this has been Radio Free Nintendo on Nintendo World Report. We will see you next week when stuff will happen at some point somewhere.
I certainly hope so. Goodbye.
Good night.
I mean, yeah, this set's so good. They have one sound effect for burp and another for belch.